Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Podfic Pals. Today we have another birthday special for you, this time for the lovely Seuss, who you might know as Lulu Lawrence. First we have Tabby reading Validation, then we have Emu reading With Your Hand in Mine, Evie is going to read Under My Umbrella, and Mia is going to read Political Pizza. We hope you enjoy listening to this episode, and Seuss, happy birthday!
Hi, my name is Tabby, and today I'll be reading Validation by Lulu Lawrence. This fic is not rated, the pairing is Harry Styles and Louis Tomlinson, and some of the tags include Meet Cute, Sad Louis, Bullying, Not Really, but there are mentions of it, American AU, Emotional Hurt Comfort, mentions of panic attacks. This is making this sound so depressing, and I swear it's anything but, or I sure hope it is, shit, please read this anyway, fluff. That's all this is. The summary reads, "Hey, how are you?" Harry asked. He'd found that sometimes just a smile and a kind face was all that was needed to brighten someone's day.
I'm all right. Can you validate me?
Harry chuckled inwardly, but decided to go ahead and take him literally. Or the one where Harry worked in a parking garage, and he totally didn't mean for this, the whole validation of people as well as their parking tickets, to become a thing. It just kinda did. Harry didn't mean for it to become a thing. It just kinda did. Harry worked in a parking garage, and while most people didn't find that to be anything close to a dream job, he really enjoyed it. He got to meet loads of new people every day, and talk about what brought them there while he validated their tickets, so they could get 2 hours free parking. He liked it, and his bosses didn't care if he read between validations, so it was a win-win, really. One day, though, this guy came up, and he just looked so down in the dumps. Harry couldn't help but try to cheer him up. "Hey, how are you?" Harry asked. He'd found that sometimes just a smile and a kind face was all that was needed to brighten someone's day. The man had brown hair cut short on the sides but longer on top, and some well-maintained scruff. The hair had obviously been styled earlier, but due to time, frustration, or just poor products, it was beginning to wilt. Harry thought he looked fantastic, if a little rumpled, though in need of a hug. When he looked up, his wide brown eyes were sad.
I'm all right. Can you validate me?
Harry chuckled inwardly, but decided to go ahead and take him literally. He could obviously use it. You, Harry paused dramatically before speaking again. You are amazing. As soon as Harry said the first line, the man looked him in the eyes for the first time, his brow furrowed.
I'm what?
You're amazing. You're incredible, actually. You look like you've had a long day, but you're still going. That's so great. You're great. The man blinked at him, but eventually cleared his throat and just said, I did have a long day, actually. Smiling even wider, Harry went ahead and took the man's ticket before continuing. I'm sorry to hear that, but guess what? You made it. You got through it, and now you're going to go out and be fantastic elsewhere. Because you don't give up, do you?
No, I don't, the man said softly.
Harry smiled and stamped the ticket.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you.
I don't give up, he said more firmly this time. His eyes lit up a little bit, and he was beginning to smile.
Thanks, man, that's just what I needed. I'm Liam, by the way.
Harry held his hand out, and Liam gripped it in his. I'm Harry. It was wonderful meeting you. I hope you make the rest of your day just as great as you are.
Thanks, Liam said, grin wide and eyes shining now.
He took his ticket and began backing away slowly. But he hadn't stopped looking at Harry yet. You have a great rest of your day, too. Once Liam had left, Harry felt almost giddy from being able to help cheer him up, and decided from then on he would do his very best to strike up conversations with people, particularly those who didn't look like they really wanted to talk much, and see if he could validate them as well as their tickets. Liam, it turned out, became a regular. He'd only parked in Harry's garage the first time because his usual garage for work had been full. But after their conversation, he began to come daily. It had been a few weeks now, and Harry considered them friends. Another regular was a guy named Niall. They'd begun chatting because he had been obviously flustered, and it turned out, due to a bad experience inside the Verizon Wireless store, he was on the edge of a panic attack. Harry was able to help him calm down and get what he needed so he could safely drive himself home. After that, sometimes Niall would just stop by to say hi and keep Harry company during his shifts.
Harry found that as he focused more on people and saying kind things they maybe didn't get to hear from anyone otherwise, not only did he find even more joy in his work, but he found that time went faster than usual as well. As the summer moved on and it began to smell more like fall leaves and barbecues rather than sunscreen and swimming, Harry came to realize he might feel like the time was going faster because he was busier too. "Dude, are more people coming to the garage than there used to be?" he asked Niall one night when they were leaving the garage. They went out twice a week after Harry's long shifts finished and grabbed a bite to eat from a diner just down the road. Niall laughed before looking at him with his bright blue eyes. Yeah, I thought you'd noticed by now. Harry had been working at the garage for almost a year, and he'd steadily been increasing the numbers of validations he'd done for a while, but he thought the numbers would go back down again. He wondered if he'd just lost track, and it was really the same. He just talked with people more, so it felt like he was busier. "Liam and I were talking last night over dinner, and we both think it's because of you and how you make everyone feel so great." "Wait," Harry stopped walking, causing Niall to have to turn around and take a few steps to return to his side. "You went to dinner with Liam last night?" At that, Niall blushed a little and shrugged. "I mean, maybe we've been talking a little since we met a few weeks back, and he might have asked me on a date." Harry let out a whoop and then laughed. "Oh my God, that's amazing." Niall just grew more red and finally grabbed Harry's arm and dragged him the final few feet into the diner. "Shut up, it's not a huge deal. It was just a date," he said quietly, before turning to the hostess, who also happened to be the night manager. "Hey, Marie, just us two again." "Hey, boys." The maternal woman, who claimed to have adopted Harry and Niall a few weeks ago, looked at them fondly. "Go ahead and take your regular booth. I saved it for you." "Thanks, Marie. You're incredible, you know that?" Harry said with a quick kiss to her cheek. "You're my favorite hostess to ever adopt me." Marie swatted his bum, and he skipped away laughing. "I swear, you boys are actually just 12 and not grown men in your 20s," she called after them. "Stop yelling, you'll scare away all the guests," Niall teased, gesturing to the few regulars who were enjoying their meals. Marie just shook her head before going back to doing whatever paperwork she had been busy with before they disrupted her. Once they'd gotten settled in the booth, Harry leaned his arms on the table and propped his chin on his hands. He looked up at Niall through his eyelashes and gave him as innocent a smile as he could. "Niall." Niall grunted and pretended to read the menu, even though they'd known what they were ordering before they'd left the garage. "Niall. Leave me alone, you fucker." Harry tried to hold back the laughter, but a few giggles did escape. "Come on, Niall, tell Harry about your date with Liam." "No, I'm never coming to talk with you during your shift again. You're annoying as shit and I have no idea why I thought I liked you." Harry pouted and almost had Niall ready to spill details when a server who definitely wasn't Molly came to the table. "Hello, I'm Louie and I'll be your server tonight. What can I get you to drink?" Harry stayed in his hunched over position and just turned his head to look at Louie. He was about to ask after Molly. She was their favorite server after all. But that was before he realized the man standing in front of him was more than just a man. He was glorious. Sure, his uniform of black jeans and a black tee with a black serving apron over the front was covered in what looked to be at least 12 hours of food gunk, but God. His hair was held back with a blue elastic headband that Harry could swear was the same color as his eyes. His cheekbones were just shit. And then the little bit of scruff he had lining his face, even though it looked like he'd probably shaved that morning, was just fuck. In other words, Harry had been sitting there, just staring at the man with his mouth hanging slightly open for far longer than was socially acceptable, but he couldn't help it. In addition to his obvious beauty, the man also looked incredibly sad. He was a bit lost in his thoughts, so he was lucky that Niall came to his rescue. "Yeah, I'll have a Coke, no ice please, and the idiot over there will have a green tea." Harry finally forced himself to sit up and straighten his own uniform shirt in some attempt to look decent in front of this demigod. "Sorry, didn't mean to stare," Harry finally forced out. He was quite proud of himself for sounding unfazed, mostly. "But, where's Molly? She's always here on Thursday nights." Louis kept his face looking serious and didn't even give Harry the beginnings of a smile. "She had an emergency at home, so I stayed on for her shift. I'll go grab your drinks and be right back to take your orders." Louis walked away and Harry couldn't take his eyes off of him. He gave off such an aura of sadness, and Harry couldn't stand to see someone that way. He had to find a way to get Louis to smile, or at least not look so fully downtrodden. Harry had no idea how long he was sat watching Louis go about his business, gathering things and typing stuff into the computer, before Niall waved his hand in front of Harry's face to get his attention.
Dude, what the hell? He's pretty, but you were somewhere else. Nal looked at him and arched an eyebrow. Pretty's a bit of an understatement, don't you think? Harry scoffed. Anyway, he just looks so sad. I want to try to cheer him up. A lecherous grin grew on Niall's face, and he didn't even have to say anything for Harry to know what he was thinking. Oh my God, no, not like that. I just want to see him smile, Harry protested. Niall nodded his head. Mm-hmm, that's what she said. Here's your drinks, Louis said as he carefully placed their drinks down. Are you ready to order or do you need some more time? Oh, I think we're ready, thank you, Harry said, turning up his charm and smiling widely. This was always step one while he was working. Smile and be kind. Step two was find out something about them and compliment them. Everyone needs to hear more positive things about themselves, and he hoped that was all Louis needed. Okay, what'll you be having? Louis pulled out his pen and notepad, avoiding all eye contact so Harry's smile wasn't even seen. Now ordered his regular, and then it was Harry's turn. Harry didn't speak, though. He wanted Louis to look at him. Once Louis was done writing what Niall wanted, Louis looked at him and arched an eyebrow. Keeping his smile wide, Harry asked, "What's your favorite entree?" Louis looked a bit irritated to be asked, which wasn't Harry's intention at all. This was definitely backfiring. "Well, my favorite's the sink burger, the one that has so many toppings it's got everything in the kitchen sink, but that's obviously just to my taste." Louis said it somewhat snappily, but still masked his tone enough so Harry only felt slightly chided for asking. "Okay, I'll just have the chicken fingers and fries, thanks." Louis nodded and walked off. Harry was disappointed, but still wanted to do what he could to cheer him up. No matter what he did, though, Louis just brushed off the efforts, or made Harry feel worse for having even attempted to do it. All he wanted to do was make him smile. Was that really so awful? As they left the diner, Harry was discouraged. He'd never met someone he couldn't cheer up before. Now wrapped his arm around Harry's shoulders and pulled him in close. Dude, it was one guy. It'll be okay. Harry rolled his eyes at himself. He knew that. He'd likely never even see Louis again. But he took such pride, you might even be able to call it joy, from helping people grow happier and maybe even more confident every day while he was at work, that he had hoped that he could help Louis smile during his shift as well. In the grand scheme of things, it wasn't all that important. But Harry could tell he wouldn't be able to let this go anytime soon. "Thanks, Nye," was all he said back. "See you tomorrow?" Nye asked once he'd gotten back to the garage, and it was time for them to go their own ways. "Yeah, tomorrow." Harry was in a bit of a funk. Even he could admit that. He'd had a hard time waking up that morning, and had been a bit crabby from the get-go. Getting to work for his early shift hadn't really made things any better, though. He usually did his best to try to smile and greet everyone cheerfully, and then offer out compliments and have real conversations, but he just didn't have the energy. About an hour into his shift, Harry met a young girl. She looked to be around 16 and had long dark hair. She had obviously been crying, and Harry was a bit concerned. "Hey, how's your day been so far?" he asked kindly. She looked up at him with sad eyes that looked incredibly familiar, but Harry couldn't place them. He knew he'd never met her before. She gave out a laugh, tinged with bitterness, before saying, "I've had better." "Why's that? I'm sure you're an amazing person who deserves to have the best days. What's happened to make this one so bad?" He held the ticket she handed over before she burst into tears again. "I'm sorry. I don't usually cry like this. I just..." She seemed to be crumpling in on herself. Harry quickly walked around his validation stand and held his arms open. "I won't touch you if you don't want, but it looks like you could use a hug." She nodded before throwing herself into his arms and crying on his chest. He patted her back and pet her hair until she'd gotten it out and seemed to be calming down a little. "I'm sorry, I've made the entire front of your shirt disgusting." She patted at the front of his shirt before wiping at her cheeks. "It's just been a horrible day on top of an entire week of ugliness, and I couldn't handle it anymore." Harry watched as she took a deep breath to steel herself, straightened her shoulders, and then lifted her chin. "You're pretty incredible, you know that?" Her eyes popped open, and while still red-tinged, they looked at him in surprise. "You are. You've had this incredibly rough week, but you're still going. You're so amazingly strong." He watched as her eyebrows furrowed, and she tilted her head. "What are you saying that for? What do you want from me?" Harry laughed. "I don't want anything. I'm just saying what I think, and I think you're a hero." She blinked at him and just studied his face, so he continued. "You're out here, unafraid to accept kindness in the form of a hug. Do you know how hard so many people find it to allow themselves to accept kindness and support?
incredibly hard. But you didn't even think twice. And I just watched you go from crying one second to pulling yourself together like you're ready to face the world again in less than 30 seconds. That right there is definitely a superhero move. At that, the girl smiled a little. I'm not a hero. Harry nodded his head. Yeah, actually, you are. And not just an average one either. You're a superhero. I bet you have your secret spandex outfit hidden beneath the clothes you're wearing, and you're on the lookout for a phone booth so you can change into your true form and save someone. At that, her smile took over her entire face. Well, that's true. Harry laughed with her this time. Don't let whatever's happened this week get you down, okay? You're so much better than that, and so much stronger, too. The world needs your smile. Her eyes watered a little as she nodded again. Yeah, okay. Okay, Harry smiled back. He stamped her ticket and gave it back to her. You're a superhero. Have a superhero rest of your day. She nodded and walked off. Harry might still have lingering regret over not being able to help Louis last night, but he was so glad he was able to help this girl today. He wiped at the wet spots on his shirt with some tissues and determined to do better than he had been. The shift continued, and Harry felt the warm feeling of helping others spread through him, knowing he was improving the days of so many. He was helping them save money and leave with smiles, and that, in turn, made him feel amazing. The afternoon came, and with that was his usual rush of people who had gone to the shops after getting off work. There was a line of people waiting to get their tickets validated, and it went as slow as it always did with Harry because he was so intent on making a personal connection. Most of them were familiar with how he worked and didn't have any issues, but around 3:30 there was a bit of a commotion near the back of the line. He heard a male voice saying, "Excuse me," repeatedly. He looked around the man at his stand and could see someone making their way through the line. He recognized the all-black uniform and the warm brown hair from the night before, but today there was a smile when last night all he'd found was at best apathy and at worst sadness and frustration. "Louis?" he asked, still not sure if he was seeing correctly. Louis turned from the apology he was about to make to the woman whose purse he just nudged as he tried to get between her and the wall. "Hey," he said, smile bright and wave a bit shy. The entire line seemed to be watching them, wanting to know what was going on. Honestly, Harry did too. "You're smiling," he said stupidly. He shook his head, trying to get it to work right again before saying, "I mean, what are you doing here?" The people in line moved over so Louis could walk up to the stand and didn't have to speak quite so loud. It didn't mean everyone wasn't listening in anyway, but it was the thought that counted. "My sister has a really rough time with school," Louis said out of nowhere. Harry was confused what this had to do with anything, but figured it was worth hearing out if Louis wanted to give him this information. After all, Harry was fairly certain he would happily listen to any and all stories Louis wanted to share with him. She's always been bullied for being a little different, and she's never had that much self-confidence. The other kids in her classes are the worst, and she only has one or two close friends, neither of whom go to her school. Anyway, this week was especially bad thanks to some class projects and exams going on, but this morning she ended up leaving school within a half hour of getting there because some idiot that I swear I'm going to track down was stupid enough to fill her locker with photocopies of her yearbook picture from last year with faces and god-awful comments written all over them. She came to me since she knew she would be in big trouble with our mom for skipping school. I did what I could, but we were busy, and she eventually left before I could talk to her more than a few minutes. At this, Louis paused and just looked at Harry with a smile on his face, changing a little in fondness. Harry was still confused what any of this had to do with him, and why Louis was here now. Louis looked to the others in line before asking, "Does he always act so selflessly?" There was a chorus of yeses, and now Harry was blushing as well as confused. "She came to you after leaving the restaurant, Harry. That's your name, right?" Harry nodded, and Louis continued. "She texted me about this boy she met in the parking garage and how amazing he was to her. How he gave her a hug and let her cry on him before he told her she was a superhero. You convinced her, at least a little bit, that she really is." Harry was getting a little emotional hearing this. He was so glad that he'd been able to help her, but he had no idea what she had been battling. Louis walked around the little stand that separated them and looked at Harry. As soon as she described what you looked like and said some of the things you'd said, I knew it was you. I was horrible to you last night. I'm sorry. I was so worried about Fizzy and what we were going to do to help her against the bullying that I was just frustrated I was stuck at work instead of helping her. I shouldn't have taken it out on you, especially when you've helped her feel so much better by showing her such kindness. Harry cleared his throat in an attempt to be able to speak through what could quickly become tears, and said, "That's okay." Louis shook his head. "It's really not. Can I make it up to you?" "You really don't have to," Harry said, still trying to wrap his head around what exactly was going on. Louis kept stepping closer and closer, and Harry's brain was likely to short-circuit if he kept doing that. "Go to dinner with me?" Louis asked quietly. "It's fine if you aren't interested, or are taken, or whatever. I just really want to get to know you better, if you'll let me." "Yeah, okay," Harry said, not able to help the smile spreading on his face now. This beautiful man had just asked him out. At that, the entire line of people who had slowly come to crowd around the validation stand cheered and clapped. Harry waved at them, trying to get them to calm down, but they just laughed. Louis bit his lip before saying, "You're a really great person. Just trying to find some joy in my work."
Hi, I'm Emu, and I'll be reading With Your Hand in Mine by Lulu Lawrence. The rating is not rated. The relationship is Nick Grimshaw and Louis Tomlinson. The tags are Haunted Houses, American Louis, American Nick, Everyone is American, Alternate Universe College, Friends to Lovers, Pining, Banter, Holding Hands, Confessions, Songfic, Based on We Made It, No Smut, and One Shot. The word count is 3,496. The summary reads, Louis reached out and latched his hand onto Nick's arm. "What was that?" "One of the previous inmates that mysteriously died here, I'd imagine," Nick whispered into Louis's ear. Louis shivered, but he wasn't sure if it was because of Nick being so close or the fact that he was growing more and more concerned that he was going to pee his pants during this. Okay, it was the latter, if the shot of anxiety currently running through him was any indication, but he did have goosebumps from Nick's breath grazing Louis's neck as well. Or the one where Louis hates haunted houses, Nick likes them, and Louis likes Nick. Things end better than Louis expects. Louis shifted his weight in an attempt to help ease the pain in his feet. Or at least that's what he told himself he was doing. It had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that he was incredibly nervous about going into the old state penitentiary. Of course not. Louis wasn't a huge fan of haunted houses to begin with, but the fact that the former state penitentiary didn't use any of the usual slasher and gore-styled quick-scare tactics made it worse. So very much worse. Louis had heard stories from friends about how creepy the empty cells were, as they had to walk past them with only a quarter of the usual lights turned on. He'd been fully prepared to say no to this particular outing too, but then Nick asked. Anyone other than Nick and Louis would have easily been able to say no, even to Harry, who had perfected the innocent doe eyes and guilt trips. Nick was different, though. Louis had been pining after him for ages. There was just something about his tall, floppy-haired self that Louis craved being around. He was modest and self-deprecating, and hysterical, with the fastest wit Louis had ever witnessed. Everything about him made Louis want more, and that had been the case over the past 4 years they'd known each other. This was the first time Nick had openly shown interest in Louis being somewhere, and Louis couldn't say no to that. The hour-and-a-half drive had even looked promising because there were eight of them cramming themselves into Harry's mom's minivan, and Nick had followed Louis to the back seat. Louis had never been guaranteed to be so physically close to Nick for such a long amount of time, and he felt like the fates were smiling on him. But then Harry and Niall had started reading true stories about the history of the penitentiary during the drive, and Louis had slowly grown more and more freaked out. He thought maybe the line to get inside would give him time to calm down, but Nick had sidled up beside Louis and kept reminding him of the creepiest parts. And then there was a metal band playing live as the line wrapped around the field in front of the building, and their music instilled Louis with even more fear. Now they were almost to the front of the line, and there were videos playing of people walking through different parts of the building, and Louis noticed something. They weren't being led by anyone. "Wait, how do people know where to go?" Louis asked the group at large. "You lead yourself," Nick said, waggling his eyebrows. "There are signs and things so you know where to go, and other options are locked so you can't get lost or anything." Louis stared at him. "Seriously? They just let groups randomly walk around and lead themselves?" Nick nodded, then pointed at one of the TV sets. The screen had gone a little wonky, and someone obviously not with the group walked past the camera. The man was dressed like an inmate. Louis reached out and latched his hand onto Nick's arm. "What was that?" "One of the previous inmates that mysteriously died here, I'd imagine," Nick whispered into Louis's ear. Louis shivered, but he wasn't sure if it was because of Nick being so close or the fact that he was growing more and more concerned that he was going to pee his pants during this. Okay, it was the latter, if the shot of anxiety currently running through him was any indication, but he did have goosebumps from Nick's breath grazing Louis's neck as well. "Nick," Louis said once he was sure it wouldn't come out a squeak, "I hate you so fucking much." "Well, you heard some of the stories Niall and Harry were telling on the way down here," Nick said with a laugh that made Louis punch him. Pulling away from the comfort Nick physically provided, Louis wrapped his arms around himself and tried to convince himself that he was only doing it because the wind had picked up and he was cold. The largest group will take us 6, so we're going to have two of us go with someone else, Harry said after getting everyone to gather closer. Any volunteers? Me and Louis can just hang with the next group, right? Nick said, nudging Louis with his elbow. Louis's eyes widened as he looked at Nick. The fuck was he doing volunteering them to go with another group? Louis had been fully anticipating being able to grab any of the guys they'd come with for protection if he needed to, but now it was just going to be the two of them with some random strangers? Nick leaned in and said, I'll protect you, before winking. That fucker. Narrowing his eyes at Nick, Louis turned to Harry and said, Yeah, we'll go with the next group, no problem. Thanks, Lou, Harry said, probably relieved he wouldn't have to decide on someone else to cut off from the group. Harry always wanted to include everybody in his group activities and hated the idea of making someone feel unwanted or like they weren't part of the group. It was part of the reason Louis had gotten to know Nick in the first place. And now it was going to be just the two of them with some strangers wandering through the old prison. Great. Fantastic. Louis tried to look at the bright side. At least this way he had the excuse that when he got scared, Nick was the only one he knew, so he would have to hold on to him. Hey, Grim? Fuck, must be serious if you're actually calling me by my nickname, Nick said, surprise on his face. Louis stared at him to show he really was serious about the next part, and Nick's face softened. Shit, okay, what's up? Licking his lips, Louis steeled himself for the next admission. I legit hate haunted houses and all the scary shit associated with Halloween. If you leave me behind or anything like that, you are dead, okay? Nick didn't crack a smile or have that snarky look in his eyes. He just nodded and said, Sure, stick with you no matter what. Got it. Giving him a small smile, Louis didn't say anything before turning back to the televisions that randomly showed static before changing to another camera filled with people clinging to each other as they made their way through. So, if you hate this stuff, why did you come? Louis's heart started to race. Of course Nick couldn't just let it be and allow Louis to live his life in peace. Licking his lips, Louis gave a weak smile. Harry was so excited about it, I couldn't let him down. Nick narrowed his eyes. You literally turned him down for every other haunted house this year and last, if I remember correctly. I'm calling your bluff. It's something else. Louis's cheeks burned with a blush so strong that Nick could likely see it despite the poor lighting. God, why did Louis like him so much? Nick was a huge pain in the ass. Louis looked at the ground and kicked a pebble by his foot. Swallowing hard, Louis glanced at Nick. Wanted to prove to myself that I could. Plus, I didn't think that would be that bad since they don't have guys with chainsaws chasing after you and shit. Nick hummed, studying his face like he wasn't sure whether to believe Louis or not. Thankfully, he nodded and seemingly accepted Louis's answer as he turned back to the rest of the group. It only took another 20 minutes for their group to get to the start of the tour and get divided up. Louis gave a nervous smile and waved as their 6 friends eagerly made their way forward. Once they were out of sight, Nick leaned in and said, You won't make fun of me if I scream like a girl, right? Louis looked at him out of the side of his eye and smiled. I'll do nothing of the sort. Everyone will know every weakness you show during this. Rolling his eyes, Nick groaned. Of course they will. You'll come off sounding like the brave one, even if you're not, and I'll be laughed at. Wouldn't expect anything else. Louis worried for a moment that Nick was seriously concerned, but when he turned to look at him, he had his usual smirk. Louis shook his head. You'll love the attention. Don't act like you won't. Oh, I absolutely will, especially if some of it is from you. Louis turned to look at Nick so fast he felt like a cartoon character, but before he could say anything, the guy allowing people to start the tour got their attention. Next group of 6! Louis checked behind them and saw a group of 4 coming closer to them before the guy nodded and waved them forwards. They hadn't taken 3 steps before Louis felt a hand grab his own and slot their fingers together. He could barely see them in the dim light, but they felt perfect as they gripped each other tight. Just to be sure I don't lose you, Nick said, sounding nervous. I'm going to kill young Harold for this. Louis laughed nervously as they started going in the direction marked. They made a couple of turns and then started climbing the stairs. I'm not sure how I feel going to a higher level, Louis said, gripping Nick's hand even tighter. He pulled himself as close to Nick as possible before continuing. We didn't sign any waivers, so they can't do anything to us like they can at that haunted hospital they used to do in Marysville or whatever, right? There were only the bare minimum of lights in the hallways, and everything was eerily quiet once they'd walked a few feet away from the entrance. After listening to live metal music and usual Halloween-styled spooky sounds for what felt like forever, the silence was ringing in his ears and left Louis feeling even more jumpy. The gray walls seemed endless until they finally reached a sign pointing towards a door that was mostly closed. We're supposed to just go through a closed door? Louis asked, his voice going a little squeaky. He really didn't like that there wasn't a guide and they were basically fending for themselves. I mean, that's what the sign says, Nick said, looking behind them at the other group before he shrugged his shoulders. They went ahead and opened it slowly, looking around before making their way through. Louis knew they all had the understanding that no one was going to jump out at them, but as they entered a large hall with cells sitting empty in the shadows, he wondered if it was more creepy this way. There weren't any windows, the only light coming from every other industrial-style light hanging from the ceiling, and Louis was beginning to regret the $15 he paid for this. "What the fuck?" Nick yelled before putting his arms around Louis and pushing him toward the center of the hall. "What? What?" Louis yelled, above screaming from the girls behind them and a sharp yelp of surprise from one of the guys. "What the fuck?" whispered Nick as he panted. "I should have brought my fucking inhaler." Louis finally was able to look over Nick's shoulder when he saw an inmate walking right where they had been, the cell now sitting wide open. "Shit," Louis said, looking around. Now that he was looking for it, several cells were sitting open. How many others were walking around like inmates here? "Come on, if we go fast, then hopefully we'll just finish faster, yeah?" Nick nodded and kept walking. The other group of four had sped ahead of them, so they jogged to catch up. Louis reached out and snatched Nick's hand again, squeezing tightly. Their skin was getting sweaty where they were linked, but he didn't care. The only thing keeping him from completely losing it at the moment was knowing Nick was here. Once they were finally able to get out of the hall with cells, they were taken on a maze through a bunch of smaller rooms, looking like they'd been abandoned in the middle of the day however long ago the penitentiary had been closed. "Feels like we're trespassing or doing something naughty," Nick said. He kept his voice quiet, but it felt like it was both eaten by the silence and somehow echoing back at them from the bare corners of the empty room they were currently walking through. "I don't like this," one of the girls whined as she practically wrapped herself around another girl from their group. "It feels like something's about to happen." "Well, thanks for that," Louis mumbled under his breath, pulling even closer to Nick. He felt Nick's shoulder shake as he chuckled, and Louis couldn't help but smile. He knew he'd be glad for the chance he had to hold Nick's hand and to be so close to him afterwards, but right now he could only just process that he made Nick laugh. It felt like a win. The next door led them to another set of stairs, but this time there wasn't any direction. They stood in the stairwell and looked at each other. "Think we're meant to go downstairs now?" the guy from the other group asked. "I don't really want to go upstairs if I don't have to," the scared girl said, echoing Louis's thoughts. "I feel like going down will get us out of here faster, and as much as I love the idea of this place, it's way more creepy than I expected. I want to get out as fast as I can." Louis and Nick followed the group down the stairs, all of them keeping close together. For whatever reason, it felt like there was strength in numbers, despite the fact that they were walking through a mostly empty former prison. He wasn't sure what the numbers would protect them from, especially since there were cameras everywhere, and he knew logically nothing was really going to be a danger to them here. But the creepy, crawly feeling under his skin that they were being watched wouldn't leave him. Once they went down the flight of stairs, they tried the door and sighed with relief when it opened. Louis wasn't so pleased when it opened, though. It was a large open space with ceilings that went all the way up to the roof, and as he looked up, he realized there were three levels of cells that could be viewed from where they were standing. It looked like the hall went most of the length of the building sitting in front of them, and then turned left and continued. "I guess that's the direction we go," Louis said and started walking. They kept tightly packed, and they were about halfway through when they heard screams from another part of the prison that made them all jump and gather together even closer. Louis and Nick were at the back again, and Louis wasn't sure he liked this position, though he certainly liked it better than taking the lead. But then he felt breath on the back of his neck. Assuming it was Nick messing with him, Louis looked to his right, but Nick was facing the other direction. From the corner of his eye, Louis saw something and realized there was a prisoner walking directly behind them. Panic flooded Louis's entire body, and all he knew was that he needed to get out of here as fast as possible. Screaming at the top of his lungs, Louis started pushing against the girls in front of him in an attempt to run. "Go, go, go," he yelled on repeat as the group turned around and all saw the prisoner Louis had felt breathing on him. "Fuck," Nick yelled before screaming a bit and yanking on Louis's hand. From there, the group didn't stop running. They ran the rest of the length of the room and then they turned the corner. It looked like they'd finally reached the end. They bolted for the door, Louis never once letting go of Nick. He felt like he was his lifeline. If he lost Nick, one of them wouldn't make it out, and that was not okay. They got to the door that led outside, and once they were on the grass behind the building, they were surrounded by the tiki torches and floodlights again, as well as people milling about as they waited for friends in the porta-potties or getting hot chocolate. Seeing his surroundings, Louis stopped, dropped Nick's hand, and leaned over. He braced his hands against his knees and tried to calm his racing heart and his breathing. Fuck, that was one of the scariest situations he'd ever been in. "Oh my god, I thought we were gonna die," Nick wheezed as he threw himself to the ground. "I can't believe we made it. We survived." Louis laughed somewhat hysterically. God, he had been so fucking scared of that worker dressed like an inmate at the end. They literally did the bare minimum when it came to anything inside of that place, and he was still filled with the heebie-jeebies. "That was a mindfuck," Louis said with a laugh. "But yeah, we made it." Louis finally felt up to straightening up and looking for the rest of their friends. He'd expected them to be right by the exit since they were the group in front of them, but they were nowhere to be seen. Nick pulled himself off the ground and, as he dusted his jeans off, looked around. "Niall's usually loud enough to find easily enough, but I don't think they're out yet." "How'd we beat them?" Louis scoffed. "That's logistically impossible, right?" Unless they went upstairs when we went down, Nick pointed out. Louis nodded. Well, they should be with us soon then, right? They shuffled over so they were out of the way of those that were exiting behind them, but still close enough to easily see when their friends were done. So, Nick said, inching closer and shuffling his feet. Louis looked over and Nick wasn't even looking at him. He was staring at the line for hot chocolate or something, but Louis didn't mind so much. The lighting allowed him to see some of the fine wrinkles that were already showing up besides Nick's eyes. There were shadows from his hair, floppy and loose across his forehead after running through the prison. Nick still hadn't followed up with anything, though, so Louis smirked and kicked at Nick's shoe. So, Louis prompted. Nick smiled, looking amused, and glanced at Louis. Would you punch me again if I were to hold your hand now that we're done with the whole haunted house thing? It felt like everything had frozen in place so every nerve ending in Louis's body could focus on the man beside him. Finally blinking so the world was set back into motion, Louis scrunched his nose a bit. No, probably not. After a pause, he gathered his courage. Might even like you to, actually. Yeah? Nick asked, finally turning and facing Louis directly. You're not just making fun? Louis laughed and reached out to take Nick's hand himself. Just like before, he marveled at the way their hands fit together and felt so right. I'm definitely not just making fun. Nick hummed and, with a quick squeeze of their hands, said, Good. They stood in silence, smiling at each other like idiots until the rest of the group came laughing and screaming out of the penitentiary. Look at those scaredy cats, Nick called, shooting a wink at Louis as he looked back at their friends and said, We've been waiting here for ages. This place is so boring, isn't it? Louis chuckled and leaned forward to warm his cold nose on Nick's shoulder. His hoodie smelled like both smoke from the tiki torches they stood next to in line and fabric softener. It was nice. The group teased each other the entire way back to the van, and once they'd all crammed back in, Louis was even more pleased to be smashed into Nick's side for the long drive back. Nick looped his arm around Louis's shoulders, and, as he carried on conversation with the others, alternated between rubbing Louis's shoulder and playing with his hair. Louis might still hate haunted houses, but he felt like he and Nick had made it in more than one sense, and there was nothing in the world that he would change it for.
Hi, I'm Evie, and today I'm going to be reading Under My Umbrella by Lulu Lawrence. This was written for the 1D Dark and Stormy Fic Fest last year, and some of the tags include Alternate Universe, Famous Non-Famous, Famous Harry Styles, Non-Famous Louis Tomlinson, Shop Owner Louis Tomlinson, Girl Direction, Actress Harry Styles, Actor Harry Styles, Meet Cute, Umbrellas, No Smut, and Storms. This is the summary. It would really be a shame if you had to go out and ruin that gorgeous outfit. This won't help the shoes, but at least it could help protect your hair and dress. As Louis held out the umbrella to her, the woman didn't take it. She looked surprised, and Louis couldn't blame her. It was absolutely pouring. It's really okay to take it. My clothes can handle the rain. They've done it before, and they will again. No, no, the woman said. I couldn't take that when you need it yourself. Louis took another step closer and pressed the umbrella into the woman's hand. I'll be fine. I'm just headed home, and it's only about a 5-minute walk. The woman's eyes filled with gratitude. Thank you. Louis shrugged before heading towards her flat. No problem. Have a good night. When Louis shares her favorite umbrella with a gorgeous woman on a dark and stormy night, she doesn't expect to see either of them again. She definitely didn't think that when she did, it would be on the cover of a gossip magazine. It was a dark and stormy night, and Louis laughed to herself even thinking the words because it made everything seem that much more dramatic. As it was, all she was doing was rushing through clothes so she could get home. Once the electric shutters were closed, Louis pulled the key out and made sure they were locked in both windows. She made one last quick sweep of her shop to be sure everything was ready for the next day, before turning to the door and cracking it open to check the weather. Another roll of thunder sounded and she jumped back, pulling the door closed again. She had actually remembered her umbrella today. To be fair to herself, she usually remembered her umbrella, but she often accidentally left it somewhere before getting to the shop. She hated how much money she spent on umbrellas, and how many times she'd accidentally taken someone else's that had been left behind before, but she supposed that was the way that it worked in London. The weather could turn from sunny to rainy, then back, fast enough that she never wanted to be caught without, yet often she was, thanks to getting distracted. Grabbing the black umbrella with small, dainty strawberries decorating the brim, Louis had to smile. Lottie had jokingly got her a tub filled with plain umbrellas for her birthday and Christmas last year, but she'd also made sure to get her a nice, cute one as well.
It had quickly become Louis' favorite, and she'd done everything she could to make sure she didn't lose it. Ready for the storm now, Louis made sure she had her jacket, rucksack, phone, and keys once more before finally opening the front door again. She stepped out carefully, tucking the umbrella under her arm so she could make sure the door was closed firmly as she turned the locks. Tucking the keys into the inside pocket of her jacket so they wouldn't get lost, she sighed and turned around, ready to face the storm. She was lucky, really. She didn't live far, and the awning over her shop door afforded her the space to open her umbrella without having to get soaked in the meantime. Just as Louis was opening the umbrella, the otherwise fairly deserted street lit up when a car turned down. Louis didn't think anything of it until it slowed down just past her shop and the door opened. Over the sound of the pouring rain, she heard a voice call out, "Thank you," as a woman scrambled out of the vehicle, wearing an adorable red dress that perfectly matched the strawberries on Louis' umbrella. The thin-looking fabric of the dress was about to get absolutely destroyed by this rain, though, as the woman didn't seem to have an umbrella of her own. "Yes, I'll see you back here shortly. Hopefully it won't be longer than 10 or 15 minutes. She slammed the door and then went rushing up to underneath the awning, a couple of doors down. As she straightened her dress and scrunched her hair a bit, clearly trying to make out her reflection in the window, Louis heard her say, "Fucking hate this." Louis should let her be. Whatever was going on was clearly not her business, and the poor woman had just said whatever she was doing wouldn't take her long. She did have to walk past her to make her way home, though, so she might as well just say hi. As she walked towards the woman, though, some thunder filled the air and the rain somehow got heavier. "Oh, for fuck's sake," the woman said, sighing and leaning her head back. "I'm sorry, I know you don't know me, but is everything all right?" Louis asked. She couldn't help it. This woman was clearly not pleased to be on whatever errand she was running. Alone in the dark, during a storm, without an umbrella, in heels that looked like they might cost more than Louis' entire collection of Vans. Well, shit, Louis wouldn't be pleased about any of that either. "Oh," the woman turned towards her, her hand pressed against her chest. She smiled, causing dimples to appear, and rolled her eyes. "Yeah, just fine. I just really don't want to have to walk through the rain and look like a drowned rat." Louis furrowed her brow and turned to look for the car that had literally just dropped her off. I figured you were dropped off here because this was where you needed to be. It doesn't seem very nice for your friend to leave you somewhere other than your final destination." The woman gave a small, wry smile, but her dimple was still present, so Louis couldn't help but smile back. "That's where things get a bit complicated." Louis nodded, taking in the beautiful woman. "Well, it would really be a shame if you had to go out and ruin that gorgeous outfit. This won't help the shoes, but at least it could help protect your hair and dress." As Louis held the umbrella out to her, the woman didn't take it. Instead, her deep, berry-colored lips parted before pressing together again as her eyes darted between the umbrella and Louis. She looked surprised, and Louis couldn't blame her. It was absolutely pouring, and anyone going out in the rain would be soaked through completely in just a few minutes. "It's really okay to take it," Louis teased as she shook it a little bit. "The strawberries match your dress, even. Besides, my clothes can handle the rain. They've done it before, and they will again." "No, no," the woman said, finally coming to herself enough to speak again. "I couldn't take that when you need it yourself." Louis chuckled a little before taking another step closer and pressing the umbrella handle into the woman's hand that was just waving a little between them. "I'll be fine. I'm just headed home, and it's only about a 5-minute walk. You have your errand to run, plus the car ride home and whatever else you have to do tonight. Go ahead and take it." The woman's eyes filled with gratitude as her long fingers finally wrapped around the handle, allowing Louis to withdraw her hand. "Thank you," she said. When more lighting flashed and lit the sky, the woman took a deep breath and said, "I really have to go, but truly, thank you." Louis shrugged and waved before passing her and heading towards her flat. "No problem. Have a good night." Flipping her collar up to protect her neck from the rain, Louis finally stepped out from under the protection of the awning and hiked her rucksack up a little further. The rain was just as brutal as it had looked and sounded, but Louis didn't mind being without the umbrella she had actually remembered that day. After all, Louis was more than willing to get wet if it meant that the gorgeous woman she'd lent the umbrella to got to stay dry. Louis had never expected to see her umbrella again. She had lamented its loss a bit that night when she realized a rather plain collection of umbrellas she now had to work with were mostly broken. But that was what happened when they were used often, she supposed. She'd also known when she first had offered her beloved umbrella to the mysterious woman outside her shop that it likely wouldn't be returned. After all, they had no way of reconnecting. The woman didn't know Louis owned Taro Tomlinson, and Louis didn't know the woman's name. Literally no information had been exchanged. In a city like London, that meant it was gone to the ether, never to be held above Louis again. Imagine Louis's surprise when, several days later, she ran down to Tesco for necessities like tea and milk, and found her umbrella on the cover of a handful of magazines. At first she thought she was imagining things, but the strawberries that Lottie had painted on herself were unable to be denied. As were the dimples of the woman holding the umbrella. She was smiling at the woman walking beside her, clutching her hand, and Louis felt at once appeased and jealous. Scoffing to herself, she grabbed one at random and tossed it in her basket before finishing her shop. Rushing back home, Louis was glad that her flatmates weren't there to witness her freak out. Niall was working the open shift at the shop, while Zane and Liam were visiting Zane's family in Bradford. So she had the space to herself as she dropped her bag on the table, ignoring the milk for the time being in order to pull out the rag and stare at the zoomed-in picture showing her umbrella and the gorgeous woman in all their glory. Shit, it was definitely her. She was so gorgeous, Louis should have known she was famous. Even in the dark, with rain whipping about them, she could tell the woman's aura was bright, one that made it so attention was naturally drawn towards her. Louis needed to learn as much as she possibly could about her, immediately. After all, she had to make sure that her umbrella was going to be taken care of, or something. She quickly tossed the milk in the fridge and grabbed her phone before settling down on the couch. She had to scan the page to see if they gave a full name, but it looked like they didn't give a name at all, instead choosing to make puns for headlines with zero actual information. Sometimes Louis really hated the celebrity gossip articles. She flipped the pages to find more about the woman, and finally there it was, Harry Styles. Louis typed her name into her phone, and as soon as she did, she realized why she looked vaguely familiar. She was in a huge comedy hit, Cherry, that had only finished its first series, but Harry played a bit of an idiot with straight blonde hair. Louis had thought from the clips that she'd seen that it was her natural hair, but her hair and makeup team really knew how to work wonders. Now she knew better and wished she could see her brown curls again. Maybe during the day, when there was better lighting, and without the thunderstorm. Your dreams, maybe, Louis mumbled to herself before pouting with a sigh. Living in London, Louis had been witness to a fair few celebrity sightings, and even stumbled into a scheduled pap walk once. She'd been horrified and stumbled right back onto the tube, making her miss her appointment entirely, which was frustrating, but she honestly could do without all of the trappings celebrities had to deal with. That was part of why she enjoyed her shop so much. She carefully curated everything she sold and enjoyed how the focus behind it all was to do with the core of who someone really was, their energy and hopes and dreams. She hadn't expected it to do so well when she'd first started it online through Etsy. But her candles had become popular enough, she decided to try a physical store as well, and it had really taken off. It was a lot of fun for her to be able to sell not only her own creations, but also those of others who liked to veer towards things that her American friend Bibi described as a little witchy. Everything in her store, though, was to do with the actual people she interacted with and how to harness the energy that naturally was within the world surrounding people. That was where Louis found her peace and her joy. Celebrity was just, well, it sure seemed like the total opposite. Shaking her head, Louis kept scrolling through everything she could find on Harry. It wasn't much. Apparently she was only just emerging as a star and Cherry was her very first show. Louis had to snicker a little bit over the fact that she'd been photographed using an umbrella covered in strawberries when she was on a show called Cherry. It felt very ironic, and she hoped that Harry enjoyed that as well. Sighing, Louis glanced at the time and realized she would barely be able to do her daily meditation before heading into the shop to relieve Niall at this rate. She rushed into the kitchen to start the kettle while she lit the candles she kept in the meditation corner of her room. It was the one place she kept meticulous so she could go in there and shut out the rest of the world and just be in peace for a minute. After a frustrating 15 minutes spent wondering if Harry's eyes were really that green or if the photos she'd found online were enhanced, instead of trying to really ground herself and focus her energy towards a productive day, Louis grabbed her tea and ran out the door. She could worry more about Harry another day. What the fuck did I just find on my most revered and sacred sitting place? Louis grabbed her phone from where she'd held it in place with her shoulder. As she stood up from where she'd been making note of how low she was running on amethyst and carnelian, Louis looked around the shop in confusion despite the fact that she knew Niall was referring to something at the flat. I'm sorry, you what? Niall growled as he was prone to do when something was upsetting his space. Louis did her best to keep things in the exact condition he liked them. After all, she respected people's preferences for peace and only good vibes in their living areas. She'd never heard him refer to anything as his most revered and sacred sitting place, though. The fucking couch, Lou. What is this filth doing in the flat? This is such bad energy, and you've invited it right in. Louis rolled her eyes and smirked. She did enjoy harnessing the energy of the world around her, but Niall took all of that a step above what she thought was necessary. Do you not see the gorgeous woman on the front? There's a reason I bought it, Nye. Louis went to make sure she wasn't running low on any other stones, and to check on her store of hand-painted tarot cards, while Niall started ranting and raving about the evil within the press and industry surrounding celebrities. Louis had heard it before, and she honestly agreed with most of it, but she also needed to make sure she didn't forget about the order she wanted to place that night. They literally say whatever the fuck they want, and they... Wait, isn't that your umbrella? Why would Harry Styles have your umbrella? Louis straightened up, still holding the black tourmaline that she'd been moving to see if she had any stock behind it. She almost knocked over a candle due to her lack of paying attention, but she quickly put it back down again so she could focus on Niall. I may have run into her the other night. Niall snorted. Yeah, right. Because Harry Styles was just chilling outside your tarot shop in Shoreditch and asked to borrow your brolly before going on a pap walk with her other famous friend, right? I was wondering who the other woman was. I figured a co-star? You're so clueless, Lou. I honestly don't understand how you survive in this world without knowing anything about the pop culture surrounding you, Niall lectured. It wasn't harsh, though. Louis could hear the smile in his voice. And you're ignoring my question. How did she get your umbrella? Louis scoffed. What, you don't believe me when I say I ran into her the other night? You know I don't do much outside of play a few open mic nights at the local and make candles. Where'd you think she got it? Niall paused. She was actually outside your tarot shop? Yes, Louis said, getting a bit annoyed and thus turning back around to finish reviewing her stock. I know it's hard to believe, but she was dropped off just by the antique bookshop so she could do something for work a couple streets over. I didn't want her to ruin her outfit and hair by walking in the rain without one, so I gave her mine. That's the one Lottie hand-painted for you, Niall said dumbly. Wasn't it your birthday present? Yes, and now she'll be excited to know that it's been immortalized by being photographed with the evil celebrity that caused a horrible gossip rack to be allowed inside the flat, Louis teased. Actually, she would probably piss herself if she knew about the photos. I should tell her, shouldn't I? You haven't even told your sister. I only learned about it a few hours ago. What do you think I've been up to today? The chime above the door sounded and Louis turned to see Mrs. Henderson coming in for a custom candle she'd ordered. Gotta go, I'll talk to you more later, Louis said. As she hung up, she could hear the beginning of a protest from Niall, but she put her phone back down on its charger by the till and turned to Mrs. Henderson. Good afternoon, how's your Saturday been? Louis asked with a smile as she walked back to retrieve the woman's order. Oh, it's been great, thank you. I was wondering, though, have you been able to get more of those cute little spell bottles you had last spring back in? The rest of Louis' day was quite busy, and she was pleased. It did mean that she didn't have time to spare Niall, Lottie, or her umbrella any further thoughts, but it was probably for the best. The shop didn't quieten down until it had got dark outside once more, and rain had started falling again. Louis shook her head as she blew out the candle she'd burned for the last hour and started getting the shop ready for close. Just as she was grabbing the broom from the back closet, the door chime sounded once more. "Welcome to Tarot Tomlinson, I'll be right out," She called to a customer as she tried to figure out where Niall had put the dustpan the night before. He was always so meticulous with their supplies at home, and yet could not return the dustpan to the same shelf for the life of him. Finally giving up and figuring she'd just use a sheet of paper or something until she'd found it again, Louie walked out, dusting her hands off in preparation for helping the customer. "Hi, sorry about that. I just..." "Oh." Louie froze, taking in Harry Styles standing inside her shop as she placed Louie's wet umbrella inside the holder beside the door. "It's you." Harry raised her eyebrows before a smile grew slowly on her face. "You could say that, yes. I've never really been anyone else." "Are you sure?" Louie asked, smirking. "It does seem kind of like your job to be someone else." Harry scrunched her nose a little, a blush rising on her cheeks. "I suppose that's true." They were quiet for a moment after that, Louie pursing her lips and taking in Harry in all her beauty. She was wearing a much more relaxed outfit today, a simple pair of jeans with the cuffs rolled up, and a pair of Converse paired with a plain white tee, yet it was no less stunning on her. How did she manage that?
"So, how can I help you?"
"Oh," Harry said, her eyes widening before she slid to the side a little and gestured towards the umbrella stand. "I wanted to return this to you. It seemed too nice to hold on to myself." Louie couldn't help but smile. "Thank you. My sister made it for me as a gift, so I'm glad to see it again. I wasn't sure I would, considering we didn't exchange information or anything. Imagine my surprise when it was suddenly featured in all the gossip magazines." "She made that?" Harry was suddenly picking up the umbrella and inspecting it further. "I was wondering where you got it. It's so cute." "Yeah, I mean, she didn't make the umbrella herself or anything, obviously, but she painted the decorations. Did all sorts of research on the type of paint she'd need to use, but it's still starting to peel a little bit anyway. She's determined to do better next time, but I love it all the same." Taking a deep breath and scrubbing her forehead a bit before brushing her fringe to the side, Louie chuckled nervously. "I have no idea why I just told you all of that, but there you go." "Well, I think that level of detail and dedication to a gift for a sister is lovely," Harry said with a sweet smile. "Thank you for sharing." "Of course." Smirking a little as she settled into her chair behind the till, Louie said, "I like how you ignored what I said earlier about you being featured in all of the magazines and racks. I honestly couldn't have missed it if I had tried. You were on so many."
"Had no idea I was in the midst of a star when I ran into you the other night. Thought you were just a run-of-the-mill gorgeous woman."
Harry bit her lip and looked at the ground as her cheeks once again flamed. It was fascinating to see how shy she seemed, despite the fact that it had to be obvious how beautiful she was. She had to know that, right? "I still am just like anyone else, really," Harry said, shrugging and looking up through her lashes to meet Louie's eyes. From anyone else, Louie would assume she was doing it on purpose to look coy, but it really did seem like a move she was doing because she was feeling shy. "I think that's just a big misconception people have of people who maybe are a little bit famous. We aren't really that different. Still have to work ridiculous hours. Still get the tube to and from work. What I do just looks a little different, basically." "Yeah, and gets you photographed by the paparazzi when you're just wanting to have a nice, quiet date night." Harry paused, gave a bit of a weak smile before she said, "Yeah, or that." Louie wasn't expecting that kind of reaction to her statement, so she was a little surprised to have Harry suddenly drop the conversation they were having, just because she'd mentioned a woman she'd been photographed with. Maybe the date hadn't gone well? Deciding to let it go, Louie kept quiet and started on her less obtrusive closing tasks while keeping an eye on the celebrity in her shop. It was funny because she knew, of course, that Harry was a celebrity. She was famous. Otherwise, the paparazzi and gossip racks wouldn't have been interested. But she didn't have the same negative aura so many of the celebrities Louie had encountered did. Harry was bright and light in a way that showed that the weight she felt on her shoulders wasn't due to her own expectations and treatment of others. It was refreshing to see. As Harry looked around, Louie began to feel like she was showing too much of herself. It was like Harry could scan the room and take in far more information about Louie than she ever realized she was even offering for people to see. She didn't feel like that most of the time, but maybe it was because people often came into the shop for their own needs and searching for something to help them. Harry was different. She'd already admitted to not knowing much about the kinds of things Louie carried or their uses. Harry smiled as she scanned the shelves and leaned forward to get a closer look at some items. Louis tried to make note of which gems, art, and candles she was most drawn to. At least in that way, it felt like Louis could try to take in some information about Harry, while it seemed like Harry was carefully observing the inner workings of Louis and her shop. "So, do you do, like, readings for people?" Pulled out of her thoughts unexpectedly, Louis furrowed her brows and tried to clear her mind. "Sorry, what?" Harry looked at her and lifted a brow before gesturing towards the windows which showed a dark, wet street. "Your shop is called Tarot Tomlinson, right? Is that because you do readings?" "Oh," Louis said, smiling when she understood and shaking her head good-naturedly. "No, not really. It's more I offer up tools people might want to create their spaces for meditation, energy cleansing, or doing their own readings. I do offer a customized candle occasionally that has a kind of tarot reading incorporated in it, but I don't do those often. They take a lot of time and energy, and it was too popular, if I'm honest. It drained me too much, so I only offer those on special occasions and always in limited numbers." Harry pursed her lips. "I'll be honest, I don't really know anything about this kind of thing, but that does make sense. So, you make the candles here? Do you make everything you sell?" "No, no," Louis said, smiling. "I've made friends with a lot of other vendors who sell similar items. I've used a lot of these products myself and therefore feel confident offering them to my customers too." "That's still really cool." Harry stopped moving, looking at the shelves behind Louis for a moment before walking closer and making a bit of an embarrassed face. "Do you mind if I ask you something personal?" Louis's brows shot up, but before she could question it further, she was nodding. "Yeah, of course. I mean, I can't promise I'll answer, but sure." Harry nibbled on her bottom lip for a moment, drawing Louis's attention back to it. It was a softer shape tonight than it had been the other night. It was a pink that looked like it was only just darker than her natural shade. It worked perfectly with the purples of her eyeshadow, which brought out the green in her eyes, and... Oh, Louis supposed those photos really hadn't enhanced the color at all. They were really that green. "What's your name?" When Harry finally spoke, Louis couldn't help but choke on her spit a little in surprise. As she cleared her throat and apologized, she couldn't help but let out some chuckles, too. "Sorry, I forgot I hadn't bothered to introduce myself. I'm so sorry. I'm Louis Tomlinson, obviously." Louis stuck out her hand and Harry took it, grasping it firmly but somehow gently for a short introductory handshake. "Nice to meet you, Louis. I'm Harry." Giggling a little more, Louis said, "Yes, I did figure out that much." Nodding, something passed over Harry's face, and when she met Louis's eyes again, it was like she had found some confidence or resolve within herself. They still held hints of doubt and shyness, but Louis could tell she wasn't going to let it hold her back. "I'll be honest, I didn't just come back to return your umbrella." "Oh, okay," Louis answered. Taking a breath and pausing, Harry raised her brows, giving her a look that felt vulnerable and imploring when she asked. "I was wondering, what time does your shop close tonight?" Louis blinked, surprised again. This woman had an incredible ability to constantly keep Louis on her toes. Checking the time on the till, Louis chuckled. 10 minutes ago, actually." Smiling, Harry said, "Great. Do you happen to have any plans tonight? Because I was wondering if you'd like to grab a drink with me. I'll help you get the shop all ready as well, of course. I don't want to be a nuisance any more than I already have been." "But..." Louis tilted her head, studying Harry. "What about the woman in the pictures with you from the other night? I figured if you were getting photographed together, you were probably serious." "Oh, no, that was just Grimmy," Harry said with a smile. "She's a good friend, but she was doing me a favor. I wanted to be sure that before anything with my career went any further, it was incredibly obvious that I'm very much not straight. That was my first time ever calling to photographers like that, actually. And it just happened to be pouring, and it was horrible." "You called them?" Louis asked, nodding. "Oh, you asking the car to pick you up shortly after makes sense now." Harry smiled. "Yeah, I didn't feel like one of Grimmy's full nights out, so she stepped out of a restaurant with her friends to help me, and then went back to finish the fun whilst I went back home." "So you aren't together?" Louis asked to clarify. "Not at all romantically," Harry said with a wide smile. And you're asking me out on a date because you are romantically interested in me. Unless I completely misread the rainbow pin on your coat the other night, paired with your bi-flag patch on your rucksack, and what looks like ace-flag stripes on your nails, then yes. Louise sputtered as her cheeks flamed. God, I feel like I'm a walking pride banner and I didn't even realize it. But no, you didn't misread that. Hello from the local ace-flex bisexual of Shoreditch. And I'm definitely interested in a drink. Great, Harry said with a smile. And good news, I think your umbrella is big enough to cover both of us from the rain. It was funny because before Harry walked into her shop, Louis would have been perfectly happy just being able to see her again and get her favorite umbrella back. The option Harry presented was far better, and Louis was glad to accept it. Louis nodded. Yeah, I think so.
Hi, my name is Mia, and I'll be reading Political Pizza. This fic is not rated. It has Harry Styles' Louis Tomlinson relationship. It is almost 3.3k long, and it was written for wordplay for the prompt Extract. The tags are Alternate Universe, based on a Tumblr post, American Louis Tomlinson, American Harry Styles, they're all American, American Politics, kind of, Tumblr, pizza, bribery, but all in good fun, humor, fluff, fluff and humor, no smut, and meet cute. The summary is as follows. Louis opened Tumblr and pulled up a new text post. Y'all have no idea how much I want a pizza right now. It's taking all of my willpower to not order one this instant to celebrate getting stuff done today. Louis hit post and sighed. Capitalism really did suck. Hitting the reblock button on his own post, Louis immediately started ranting when he got an idea. Late stage capitalism is that I want a pizza, but Congress won't buy me one. Wait, I haven't tried. I'm gonna go call my congressman and see. It only took a few minutes to get through the various options and reach a voicemail. He'd called Ted Cruz, after all, and he never had anyone answering his phones, it seemed. That gave Louis another idea, though. The senators and congressmen rarely had anyone answering their phones when Louis tried, but one office that did was the governor's office. Or the one where Louis really wants a pizza and Harry is the one who answers the phone. Louis was ravenous. He was past the point of being merely hungry. He was nearing the point of starvation. All because he'd been so focused on getting everything from his to-do list done and he'd forgotten about lunch. Note to self, include eating lunch on his to-do list from now on so this doesn't repeat itself. Again. He'd been incredibly productive and nearly finished everything on his list for the day, and he was proud of himself. He only had 3 fairly minor things left to do, and he wanted to celebrate being so awesome on a rare day off with some pizza. Oh shit, pizza. Louis hadn't known what exactly he wanted for dinner. But as he opened his newly stocked fridge, thanks to the grocery shopping he'd done earlier, he realized it was pizza. He didn't have the makings for pizza, nor did he have the energy or the patience. No, he wanted one gloriously hot and kindly prepared by some pimply teenaged kid delivered to his apartment door, so he didn't have to put forth any more than the necessary effort. Louis jumped onto the super soft overstuffed sofa that his stepdad had handed down to him when he'd bought a brand new one for himself, and unlocked his phone. He swiped over to where all his food ordering apps were and... damn it, Louis's past self really did know him too well. It had only been 2 days since Louis had accidentally overdrafted his account again, and needed to move money over to his savings account. Every time that happened, he swore he would repay his savings account, and yet he never did. Which was why it was sitting there still holding only a measly $4.17. He'd gotten paid since then, though, so he could afford the pizza now. But the entire reason he'd deleted those apps and gone through the trouble of grocery shopping today was because he really did need to start saving money by not eating out anymore. Pouting over his poor luck and how much capitalism sucked, Louis opened Tumblr and pulled up a new text post. Y'all have no idea how much I want a pizza right now. It's taking all of my willpower to not order one this instant to celebrate getting stuff done today. Louis hit post and sighed. Capitalism really did suck. It revolved around and relied on retail workers in various industries who were paid a pittance to survive and then couldn't even afford to buy themselves food, made by someone else doing similar work they did to get to that point. Hitting the reblock button on his own post, Louis immediately started going into a shortened version of his inner rant. Late-stage capitalism is that I want a pizza, but Congress won't buy me one. Louis was about to continue typing when he froze. Hold on a second. That was a great idea. Wait, I haven't tried. I'm gonna go call my congressman and see. Louis immediately pulled up the sheet he kept bookmarked with the contact information for all of his current congressmen and senators and hit dial. As far as he knew, there wasn't anything huge being voted on at the moment, so hopefully the phone lines wouldn't be too busy. It only took a few minutes to get through the various options and reach a voicemail. Voicemails, while usually helpful when he still wanted to make sure his view was heard, did not do him any good in this specific situation. Not that it did any good in any other situation either. He'd called Ted Cruz, after all, and he never had anyone answering his phones, it seemed. And when he did, they all spoke down to Louis like he was annoying instead of a citizen who actually cared. Thumbing back to Tumblr, Louis once again hit reblock to make sure all of his gazillion loyal followers, or all 500 of them, whatever, were able to follow his fascinating quest to magic a pizza without paying for it. Ted Cruz isn't answering. Still a coward, I see. That gave Louis an idea, though. The senators and congressmen he reached out to regularly rarely had anyone answering their phones when Louis tried. But one office that did was the governor's office. Louis checked the time. It was almost 5. Considering it was a government position, they probably all left at 4:30. But it was worth a try. I'm going to call my governor now and tell him Cruz said it was out of his jurisdiction, so he feels all important. Dude sued the city and is richer than God. He can afford a pizza. Tumblr once again updated about his next step. Louis went back to his sheet and dialed the number for the governor's office. Hitting a few buttons on the automated line, he waited, and eventually the phone began to ring. He had a feeling it was going to go to voicemail just like it had with Coward Cruz's office, but he was surprised when a deep voice came on the line. Governor Abbott's office, this is Harry speaking. How may I help you? It was only then that Louis realized his error. He hadn't actually expected anyone to pick up, so he hadn't planned out what he was going to say. He decided to just wing it and see how it went. Hello, Harry. I'm Louis Tomlinson. I'm calling because I'd like to request an audience with Governor Abbott. Harry paused for a moment, and Louis wasn't sure why, but it must have been his wording. Was it audience? That sounded like something someone would say for the Queen. Maybe he should have just asked for a meeting or something. I'm sorry, Harry finally replied, sounding a bit caught off guard, but maybe he just always spoke that slowly. He's not available, but I can take a message and have him get back to you via phone or email. Oh, great, Louis said, shifting in his seat as he figured out what exactly he was going to say. Due to some recent changes and the current economic disparity in Texas, I've calculated that Governor Abbott makes enough to buy around... Louis looked around the room, fishing for a high number that seemed to still be accurate. 10,000 pizzas, for example. As a display of his claims he made during his last election to make efforts towards rebuilding the middle class, all I ask is that he buys me a single pizza. Louis paused, waiting for Harry's reaction. There was only silence until suddenly there was a short and a choked squawking sound, followed by some laughter. Listen, Louis said, holding his hand out as if Harry could see him. A pizza costs something stupid, like 0.00001% of his annual salary, and that's not even taking his enormous wealth into consideration. This pizza will influence how I vote next election. My PayPal is paypal.me/ltummel. Would you be willing to pass that on for me? You're serious? Harry asked, obviously incredulous that this was the call he had taken. Louis didn't blame him, but damn it, he really fucking did want that pizza. Yes, Harry, I am. Chuckling again, Harry said, All right, well, I'll pass it on to him then. Does he happen to be in the office still? Louis asked hopefully.
I'm actually so hungry that I think I might wither away to nothing soon enough, and I really was hoping for a pizza tonight. Think there's any hope of that? For the confirmation of a vote from a young Democrat? Louis could almost hear Harry's eye roll when he said it, but Louis was known for laying things on too thick. What could he say? When he went in on anything, he was all in. He's still here, but I can only promise to pass this on to him. Yeah, that's what I figured, Louis said, pouting. I'm still going to be checking my PayPal in the hope he'll consider this a worthwhile consideration. Sure. Have a good night, Louis Tomlinson. Thank you for calling. It was the most entertainment I've had here all month. Louis couldn't help smiling and hung up the phone, heading to Tumblr to update them on how the conversation went, and wait to see if any money came into his PayPal. Louis was chatting with his roommate Niall when his phone buzzed. Assuming it was one of his friends messaging him on Tumblr after his post started getting loads of notes earlier, Louis ignored it for a moment as Niall finished his story, before handing Louis the sandwich he so kindly picked up for him on his way home from his late shift at work. "You're a godsend, honestly," Louis moaned, shoving the sandwich in his mouth. After updating Tumblr earlier, he'd gone on and kept working on his ridiculously long to-do list, dreaming of the hot pizza he'd buy for himself if only he had the money sent to him. He treated himself to one of his juice boxes from the store as he went around his apartment, but that didn't fill him up, obviously. This sandwich was going to do amazing things for him. Picking up his phone, Louis saw the notification was from PayPal, and he almost choked. Nee! Harry might have actually convinced the governor to do it. He hurriedly opened the app to check while Niall tripped back into the room, halfway stripped out of his bartending uniform. You can't be fucking serious, he said, amazed and plopping down beside Louis on the couch. When the app finally loaded, Louis looked and saw $15 had been transferred to him from a Harry Styles, with a comment, political pizza, and a phone number. Wait, Harry? Like the dude you talked to when you called? Niall asked, obviously confused. I mean, I'm assuming so, Louis said, quickly copying the phone number over to his text messages. Considering the message with it and the name match, it makes sense. Harry Styles, is that your full name then? He texts. I'm guessing the governor turned down my request. Guess he's not getting my vote next time. This is Louis Tomlinson, by the way. And thank you so much for the pizza money. You didn't have to do that just because Abbott wouldn't. You're texting him? Seriously? Niall asked, now leaning entirely into Louis. Ugh, get off me. You smell like liquor, Louis said, shoving Niall away from him. And yes, I have to thank him for it, and honestly, his voice was hot. Might as well chat a bit more. Niall looked at him skeptically before leaving the room. I've got a sexy voice too, and I don't see you asking me to talk more for you. Louis looked over at Niall's bedroom door and yelled, If I ever get Harry on the phone again, I'm going to let you hear it. I'm serious, you'll love his voice too. You're getting creepy now, man. Louis shrugged and fumbled his phone when it vibrated again. Maybe Harry Styles texted, Yeah, that's my full name. And honestly, I didn't even bring it up to him. I figured I can give you $15 if you're that desperate for a pizza. I'm glad you texted, though. I fucking hate my job, and your call at the end of the day today was the best thing to happen here for weeks. Louis quickly added Harry to his contacts and went back to Tumblr. His last update was that no one had paid for his pizza. He'd even made a fantastic pun that they had crushed his dreams. But his followers needed to know just how great Harry was. Plot twist! The secretary sent me $15 for making him laugh, and because he hates his job. The memo read political pizza, and I might be in love. Posting the update, he went back to his chat with Harry. So why do you hate your job? If I don't answer right away, don't worry. I'm just ordering the pizza. Harry started sending slews of texts, and Louis found he had a lot of fun talking with him. Once the pizza was ordered, he also had fun finding Harry on various social media and following him. Harry was fucking hot. Like, Louis had already loved his voice, but he had this somewhat shaggy hair that was all curly and the deepest dimples he'd ever seen. Plus, he did not seem to be shying about posting photos of himself wearing next to nothing, and Louis was not one to ignore such art. Upon further digging, Louis saw that Harry had identified himself as a gay man in a few tweets, which was excellent news. But Louis couldn't find any hints as to whether he was taken or not. There were a few recurring men in photos with him that could be a boyfriend, but he wasn't sure. He decided he didn't need to try to be smooth or suave. He could just be open about wanting this information. After all, they'd met because he was trying to get a pizza out of the state governor. Harry, I'm so sorry and I really hate to interrupt this update about the newest cat to adopt you. But are you single? Louis got up and started pacing the room as he waited for Harry's response and the pizza to arrive. He knew it was ridiculous, but he was already attached. The guy took his stupid phone call and actually sent him money for pizza when he was being absolutely absurd due to his insane craving for pizza. And now Louis was asking him, mere hours later, if he was single. But he needed to know his chances here. He'd keep chatting either way, but it would be excellent if he could flirt some too. I'm boring you with Karma already, and she's only been in my life for less than an hour. That's some kind of record, Harry texted. And yes, I'm single. Louis closed his eyes and blew air out loudly. Right as he was about to respond, though, a loud knock startled him from the door. Oh my God, is that the pizza? Please say you did sausage and olives. Please, 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 Niall begged as he ran out of his room. I bought you a sub. I hate Subway, but I did it because I love you. Please share your political pizza with me. Louis waved him off as he thanked the delivery guy and accepted the pizza. Once the door was closed, Louis opened it up and showed him. Yes, I got Brooklyn-styled crust because it's the only way to go, and sausages with olives as the toppings. Who's the best roommate you've ever had? Niall smiled widely and said, you are. I'll get the beer. By the time Louis and Niall were settled in on the couch with a TV showing reruns of Family Guy, Louis had almost forgotten about his conversation with Harry. Shit, Louis muttered, getting back up to retrieve his phone from wherever he'd set it down to answer the door. When he found it, he had several other texts from Harry waiting. Does this mean you are too? Because if I'm being honest, I definitely stalked your socials before giving you my number. You're not at all who I was expecting to find behind that kind of call. Louis scoffed. Excuse you, what does that mean? Niall, what does this mean? Unlocking the phone so Niall could read the last part, he handed it over, and Niall started laughing almost immediately. It means he was probably expecting some pimply 18-year-old who had never voted before, not a hot gay rights activist who works at the Humane Society as a veterinarian. Louis pouted. Well, at least it means he likes what he saw, right? Otherwise he wouldn't have given me his number. Niall stared at Louis before practically throwing his phone at him and turning his attention back to the television. You aren't that unsure of yourself. I'm not even giving you a response to that. Rolling his eyes, Louis finally responded. Not sure what exactly that is supposed to mean. My call was absolutely warranted and in no way out of left field, but I have to say I am relieved to hear you're single. You probably don't care, but just for the record, I am too. Nodding to himself, Louis locked his phone and picked up the next slice of pizza. It took the rest of the episode to finish before Harry replied again, which was fine. Louis was enjoying spending some time with Niall before they both headed to bed. I do care, actually, so thank you for the confirmation, Harry texted. All I meant was that usually when we get interesting requests of the governor, there's a few specific demographics that they come from, and I was very happy to be proven incorrect. Smiling, Louis figured he should just go for it and ask him out. He didn't really have anything to lose, after all. Does that mean you'd be interested in joining me for a date this weekend? Because if you are, I'd love to take you out. I'm free on Friday. You're an idiot, and you're lucky I love you, Niall said, before standing up and smacking a kiss on the top of Louis's head. I'm falling asleep after my double. See you tomorrow, and good luck with the secretary. Not an idiot, but I love you too, Louis called out after him. He took the empty pizza box to the recycling and then shut off the lights and went to his room as well. As Louis crawled into bed, Harry sent a short response that immediately got Louis planning. Friday would be great. 3 months later, Louis opened the door and found Harry standing there, holding a pizza with a big smile on his face. Aw, baby, is it our anniversary? Louis teased, taking the pizza and accepting the kiss Harry leaned in to give as he came inside. Pizza is so special for us, you know. Fuck off, Harry said with a laugh. I know you had a long day of surgeries, and I wanted to feed you, but I had to stay late, so pizza was all I could do. Louis opened it and found Harry had gotten him Louis and Niall's favorite. Shit, yeah. Walking towards the living room, Louis was so focused on the food he was startled by the arms wrapping around his waist and pulling him in. You are so sexy in your scrubs, even when I know they're probably disgusting, Harry whispered in Louis's ear before nipping it gently. Is Niall home? Louis's breath stuttered, probably thanks to the way Harry was nosing down his neck and starting to kiss at the sensitive area by his shoulder. Fuck, no, but it'll kick us both out if we eat this whole pizza. He's working closing shift. We'll save him some pizza, Harry said as he ran his hands down Louis's sides. He pulled back quickly and started walking towards Louis's bedroom, stripping his clothes off as he went. It'll taste fine later anyway, right? Louis watched as Harry's bare backside turned into his bedroom before he set the pizza down on the counter. He didn't care how the pizza tasted later if it meant he got to have Harry right now. Pizza might have started it all for them, but it certainly didn't beat out his sexy boyfriend and an empty apartment.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Podfic Pals. You can find all of these fics by Seuss on her Tumblr or on AO3 at Lulu Lawrence. You can find us on anchor.fm/podfic-pals or on Tumblr at podfic-pals.tumblr.com. Have a great day, and until next time.